Did you ever go back to Cuba?
In 1994, back in the days of Wiltel, they got a contract to build a fiber optic cable from Key West to Havana. At that time, the only way you could communicate with Cuba was to go via Italy by wireless radio from there. So a delegation went down there, and they invited me to go sort of wave the flag, having grown up in Cuba. Incidentally, they checked me out very carefully before they let me in the country, that I didn't have any claims against them. It was really fascinating. It was very depressing. I didn't know what communism was till I went down there, but literally they had taken everything. They had taken over all the homes, automobiles, buildings, businesses. Nobody owned anything. We were guests of the government. We had a driver in a Mercedes car to take us around. You know what an 18-wheeler is. The bus down there was a tractor trailer with a flatbed trailer with a railing around it, little circular staircase in the back, and a sign said, capacity, 246 people standing up. That was a bus.
Wow.
We had an interpreter that was assigned to the negotiations. It was a lady about 45 years old, attractive, and she was well-dressed. I tried to talk to her during the breaks in the meetings, and she would do, we were being monitored, but later we'd go out in the garden and talk. She was paid $4 a month. She had food stamps and got rice and beans and 3 chickens a month. She said, you see these clothes I have on, I'm pretty well dressed. Well, they're not mine. They were just issued to me for this meeting, and when you all leave, I have to hand them back in. It was like they're in a concentration camp. It was quite pathetic.
You obviously didn't meet Fidel Castro.
No, did not.
But you were a guest of the government, so he probably knew you were there.
Oh, definitely. They knew all about us. Yeah. And interestingly enough, we didn't need passports or anything to go down. We also went down with the full approval of our U.S. government because they wanted this system to go in. It never got built because they got in a fight with them as to what would happen to the collect calls. Castro knew that most of the calls out of Cuba would be collect calls and the money would be collected in the U.S., and he wanted 100% of it remitted to Cuba, and the government refused to do that, so they never settled it.
Any thoughts about when Castro passes on, what will happen to Cuba? Will it become a democracy?
Eventually, I think it will, yes. It's going to take forever. The problem, this year, it's almost 51 years now since Castro took over in 59. And what has happened is that everybody has a claim against Cuba. The people who lost their houses, the people that lost their businesses. Whenever the government changes, they're going to try to recapture what was taken away from them. Now, this happened 60 years ago, so those claims have largely gotten confused because Castro has sold those properties to somebody else. He didn't have title to them, but, you know, Europeans and Canadians, they're all down there. So when it changes, there's going to be great confusion for several years, but eventually time will cure it, and eventually it will become a tourist attraction. I think that what we should do is make it the 51st state, but I don't think that'll ever happen.
When you went back in 94, were you able to go back to the house and see where you lived?
I did. I went back there, and our home had been converted to a children's school for grades from 1 to 4. I went up to the front door and knocked on the door. The headmistress came, and in Spanish, I talked to her and told her that this used to be where I lived and that I was down here on this project, and I'd love to come in and look around and visit. She was very, very suspicious about the whole thing and wouldn't let me in, and I kept talking and sweet-talking her. Finally, I guess I persuaded her. She let me in, and we got along fine. And then there were 8 classrooms in the house there, and she insisted I go to each one and make a little speech in Spanish to the students. And there were students, most of them from 5 to 8 years old, and tell them who I was. This used to be our home, and I grew up here, and what was in each room, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet it was. It seemed mighty strange, I suppose, because the house seemed much bigger to you as a 6-year-old.
It did. The house didn't seem nearly that big. But every bedroom was a classroom, and the living room had been broken up into two classrooms. When we lived there, you had to boil all the water that you drank because it was not sanitized. We had ice boxes. We didn't have refrigerators. This was in the 20s, so Cuba was fairly primitive then. But it was a wonderful place to live. And I was there living during the 30s, during the Depression. We didn't know there was a Depression going on. We didn't have to stay warm, but we already were warm.
Were your friends mostly Cuban?
Yep. And then these same friends later on wound up in Palm Beach, Miami, and Fort Lauderdale driving taxis or waiters. A lot of them just barely out with shirts on their back. Pretty sad.
Did you ever connect with them as they came and you were living over here?
Several.
Can you speak some Spanish right now?
Todavía hablo español bastante bien, sí.
Which means?
Yes, I still speak enough Spanish to get along pretty well.
How would you wrap this up in your experience of doing this as you recollect your life and say it in Spanish?
Para mí ha sido un gran placer tener esta oportunidad de pasar estas dos horas hablando con todas mis experiencias en mi vida de los últimos 91 años. Vamos a ver qué pasa el próximo año.
That's great. And can you tell me what that meant?
It's been a great pleasure for me to spend these last 2 hours with you and telling about my past experiences, and I hope that I have a few years left.
I'm sure you will. Thank you, John, very much. That was wonderful.